Good morning to all six of you. Actually, it's probably a few more than that. Oh, okay. So we might have gained one or two. We're going to open up to number 419, the family of God.
Father, we do want to praise your holy name today because you are worthy of all praise. Lord, we are your people. We have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and you have given us your blessed Holy Spirit who lives within us to guide us in the way we ought to go. And I pray today, dear Father, that you would bless this service as we seek to honor and magnify your holy name, and as we partake of the Lord's Supper and remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. Oh, how we praise you, our Father. We praise you for all your grace and love and mercy to us. And we ask you to bless this service today and bless each one of us and those who cannot be with us today. We ask you to watch over them and keep them. Touch and heal those who are infirm at this time. We pray that you'll meet their needs as well. May your holy will be done. Comfort the hearts of those who are grieving and meet their needs. And may Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, be glorified. We pray in his name. Amen. Read from Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Getting very close to the end of the book of Romans. This is a practical session and talking about some of the things that people need to keep in mind. So it's Romans chapter 14, beginning at verse number 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father in heaven, we just pray again this morning that your holy will be done. Thank you for your word, for this practical session that we have here that will help us in accepting one another. Even though we may have some differences of opinion about certain things, we can still love each other and serve you together. Lord, we know that we all, at best, still fall short. So help us not to judge one another, but rather to accept each other because you accept each one of us. May we understand that and may we follow through on that. Again, we pray this morning, our Father, for those who are not with us this morning. We just pray that you'll be with them and help them, strengthen them, meet their needs. Be with Steve and Dawn and Carmella as they are fighting this COVID. Be with Tommy Nichols as he also has COVID now. We pray for Denny's brother, Ron. We ask you to be with him and help him through his problems. And pray that you'll be with each and every one of us and guide us in all that we do, that we'll be pleasing in your sight. We do pray that you'll bless the service today, and may we truly rejoice in all of your goodness to us. We thank you so much that you do take care of us, Lord, and lead us in so many different ways. May we honor you and may we serve you. Be with our missionaries today, our Father. We are mindful of the Owens family especially, who were supposed to be with us today. We pray that you'll comfort their hearts and the hearts of their family members in the death of this little one, and pray that your holy will might be done in all of their lives. We pray for the conflict over in Ukraine, our Father, that it might soon come to an end. We don't know how, but we do pray that you would undertake for the people there. And we thank you for each and every one who has come to know Christ through this terrible time, and pray that they will continue to come more and more, to know him, to love him, to serve him. And we pray that you'll help us all to look to you and find the strength we need for our lives day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look once again in Romans chapter 14. Dealing with gray areas. You know, there's some things are always right, and some things are always wrong. God does have a standard of right and wrong. We have it in the Word of God, and he expects us to obey it. There are other areas, however, that are not specified, where we can have liberty to choose what we desire to do. These are questions of conscience. Some people look at it one way, and some people look at others another way. But he says it often causes friction, lack of fellowship among believers. Some people, churches have been split over the smallest things because one was determined to do this, and one didn't believe in that, and, you know, there are many areas that we can accept, even though we may not feel free to do it ourselves. If others desire to do that, and it's not forbidden in the Word of God, then it should be fine for them to do it. That's the point that Paul is making here in this chapter, that we are to accept one another, right? And that we are to seek to do the best we can in fellowshipping with one another. So the first thing we see here in this chapter is that we are not to judge one another. You know, it does say in the Gospels, judge not that you be not judged. So we should be very careful how we look at other people. He says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Okay? But not to doubtful disputations. Now my note here says, not for decisions of doubts. That is, doubts about food, about the days when you worship. You know, some people had certain special times when they would worship. Others did not do that. He says we should not judge one another in these areas, in these areas of personal liberty that we are allowed to do if we wish to. So anyway, he says, one believeth that he may eat all things. Okay? Everything. Another who is weak eateth herbs. It's like we have people that'll eat meat, right? Other people, maybe they might eat fish, or they might eat eggs, or they might not. You know, this is a different way. Vegetarians and people that will eat most anything. And he says, you are not to judge one another. There's two groups of believers that are mentioned here. The weak in the faith, according to Paul. Okay, not according to me. According to Paul, the weak in the faith mentioned here is the believer who does not feel free to eat certain foods and who observes certain religious holidays because he thinks it makes him more pleasing to the Lord. You know, did you know that you can't be more pleasing to the Lord? He's accepted you, hadn't he? He's accepted you as you are. And he loves you. And you can't do anything that's going to make him love you more. Okay, that's what Paul is expressing here. And that we need to be united together in the church. Whether we eat everything, or whether we only limit ourselves to certain kinds of food. So this is what he's saying here. And the other type of believer, the one that will eat anything, you know, he doesn't have scruples about what he eats, or about observing certain days. Now, you know, of course, back in the day when Paul was writing this, the Jewish people, of course, had been limited severely in what they could eat. In the Old Testament, there's long lists of things they weren't allowed to eat, right? And also, there were certain days that they had to keep. And now, Paul is saying that in the church, that this is no longer applies. You don't have to, but if you want to. That's like Jewish people that accept Christ as their Messiah, as their Savior, as their Redeemer. They might continue to keep Passover. They might continue to keep Pentecost and all of this. But he's saying that that does not mean that everyone else has to keep these days. You see, it's a choice that people can make. And when we're talking about here eating and observing days. There are many other gray areas, right? That some people like dogs. Some people like cats, right? And we should be able to get along with those people no matter, you know. And some people just don't like animals, right? Now, is that a sin? My sister would say it is because she loves animals, you know. And I mean to the extreme. But anyway, but I accept her too, you see. She has a right. She has a right to love animals. And I can't have animals. You know, I used to go to see my dad down in Virginia there, and they had two or three dogs. And every time I would leave, I'd end up with flea bites all over my legs. Now, there you go. You know, so anyway, it's all kinds of ideas about that. But at any rate, the idea is we have different tastes, we have different ideas about things that do not really make a difference, right? We can have fellowship with people if they have all these different ideas, you know, and there's no reason why we have to say, no, you have to do what I do, you know. Some people are that way, right? We don't know any, but I'm sure there are some that insist that you follow their regimen and don't vary from it. And that was the problem here. You know, Jesus had trouble with the Pharisees because you remember one day his disciples were walking through the grain field and they plucked off a few little heads of grain and were eating it as they went along. The Pharisees saw them and, oh, you're working on the Sabbath day. See? And he says, that's ridiculous. You know, and we need to accept people for who they are and to be able to get along with one another. And don't allow things of this nature to get in our way of doing the work of God and of serving Him together. We need to be willing. It's not a compromise. If a person, as long as it's not forbidden in the Scriptures. Now, if you start committing sins and saying, oh, well, I have freedom, you know. Oh, yes, I'm married. I'm going to go out with Susie over here. We're going to have a good time, you know. No. You can't do that. That's wrong. But, I mean, there are many other areas where we do have freedom. Not to sin, but according to the Word of God, to be able to live our lives as we wish, as long as we don't go against the Scriptures. So according to Paul, this is the one who has better understood the liberty that we have in Christ, the one who is able to eat anything he desires, and the one who does not observe all these special days. According to Paul, that's what he's saying here, that he's the one who is more free to do these things. He doesn't have that. His conscience is more open and more free than those who are limited in their outlook. Anyway, here's his judgment about this. Verse 4, he says, who are you that judges another man's servant? You see? Whose servant are we? The Lord's, right? We all serve the same master. We are all his, and he is the one who is going to judge our lives and see how we stand. It says, to his own master, he stands or falls. So the Lord is the one who has to judge each one of us. Or to his yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. See, the Lord is able to work in a person's life. If there's something that needs to be corrected, he can correct it. And we just need to accept our brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what their lifestyle might be, as long as they're not openly sinning against God. Okay? And he goes on here talking about the days that they, verse 6, he that regardeth the day regards it unto the Lord. Okay, he's worshiping the Lord on this particular day. And he that does not regard the day, he still worships the Lord. He that eats to the Lord. He gives God thanks. He that does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. So, he says either each one has to be convinced himself as to how he's supposed to live, and that we are not to judge. We're not to judge one another. We are all accepted in the Beloved One, the Lord Jesus, and we do not have the right to tell others how they must conduct their lives. So, we're not to judge one another. Okay, here I have a reference from Colossians 2:16. Let's see what that is. Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So there again, Paul is emphasizing it in another letter, that we are not to judge one another. We are each one responsible to our Master, the Lord Jesus. If he accepts us, we are not to judge other people. Here in verse 5, it says, I read that already. Verse 7, none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. So in other words, we live in the presence of God. He is the one who is directing us. We are to follow his leadership and not allow anything to turn us aside from that. And however, we are convinced, if God leads us in one way, we should go that way. If he leads us in another way, then we should be doing that. So it's very simple. It's just we are not to be dogmatic in the way that we say everyone has to do what I do. No. But we do need to follow the Word of God as well as we possibly can. And we're all the servants of the same Lord, and he's the one who will judge us. And we need to look to him. Every one of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. As he says here, verse 11, as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's the thing we have to be careful about. We don't want to do anything that's going to cause another person to be offended or to be turned away. And sometimes that's not easy because people, you know, they have their own particular view, and, you know, we need to be, what's the word? Accommodating, I think, of others. You don't have to change what you believe. No. You got convictions, stand by them. They're your convictions, right? But my convictions might not be the same as yours. You have to answer to God for whatever is happening in your life, and we are answerable to the Lord Jesus above all. We look to him. And certainly we don't want to do anything that would bring shame to him, right? Now, we don't want to offend someone else that might be unsaved that would not come to Christ because of something we do. So we have to be careful, right? We have to seek to do God's will and allow Him to lead us in the way that He would have us to go. We have to stand before the judgment seat. Look with me, if you would, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So here he's saying we all must give an account of ourselves to the Lord and allow him to be the judge and to see whether or not we will be rewarded or suffer the loss of rewards. It has nothing to do with our salvation. We are saved by the grace of God, and once we come to know the Lord as our Savior, we are saved eternally. But at the same time, we do have to answer for the way we live our lives and the things that we do that we might be pleasing to Him. And to know that we are doing the very best we can in following the teachings of the Scriptures. So it's the judgment of our works, how we live our life, to see if we have been faithful and if we shall receive a reward. Every believer must answer for himself. We have no right to judge our brother, right? Each one of us has to answer to the Lord for ourselves. We're all in the same boat, so to speak, right? We're all there answering to the Lord, and He will render a righteous judgment as to what we have done and how we are to live. Okay, the next point was, do not tempt others. First, don't judge anyone, and then don't tempt other people. Beginning of verse 13, it says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, here it is, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So we have to be careful the way we live. We say, yes, I could freely do this. No problem. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't. However, if you have a weaker brother that's going to be offended, then you should not do it. Right? That's what Paul's saying. You don't want to offend someone else and cause them to stumble and to fall, to lose their fellowship with you and with the Lord. So it's important that we keep that perspective, that we don't have to have our way. You know what I mean? You might say, well, it's true. I'm not doing anything wrong, right? But at the same time, if it offends someone else, then you shouldn't do it. Paul said we shouldn't give any offense to the Jew, to the Gentile, or to the Church of God. Wow. That's quite a tall order. Try not to offend anybody. Well, that's what he says. And I think that as we seek to be a witness in this world, we need to set the highest example we can and not offend others if we can avoid it. Be very careful not to cause a weaker brother, especially, to fall. Look with me, 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8. I marked these. There we go. 1 Corinthians 8. Okay. Verse 9. It says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? For when you sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So he's saying, Paul says, his main objective in life was to glorify God, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and to win people to him, to bring them to salvation. And he didn't want to do anything that would cause them not to come, or for some weaker brother to be offended, to quit going to church and never come back again because of something that might have happened there that he was not pleased with. I had another verse here in chapter 10, just a couple pages over. Chapter 10, verse 31. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. See, this is Paul's way of living, his philosophy, if you will. He wanted to see people saved, and he would do anything to cause that to happen. He did not want to offend them and turn them away. He wanted them to listen to what he had to say, and that he might be able to see them come to know the Lord and then walk in fellowship with other believers. So he says, in looking back again at our passage, there's nothing unclean of itself. Verse 14, it says, God created this world, didn't he? Everything he made, it was good. It says it was good. And the only thing is, it's when we misuse what he has done that causes us to fall into sin. He says it's a sin when we abuse the things that God has given to us. There's nothing unclean of itself, but to the one that considers it unclean, to him it is unclean. So if you have a conviction that something is wrong, you shouldn't do it, right? Whatever it is, whatever it is. And he says it may not be wrong for someone else, but it is for you. So don't go against your conscience. Don't go against what the Scripture says. And live according to your righteousness and according to God's will. All right. The most important thing here is not the eating and drinking, but what? Notice in verse 16, he says, let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God, here it is. What is the kingdom of God? It's not food, it's not meat, not drink. That's immaterial. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see? That's where we need to put our emphasis. You know, rejoicing in the Lord and all he's done for us. He's saved us by his grace. He's given us eternal life, and we can live a righteous life for him, filled with the Spirit of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the things we need to be thinking about and be interested in. It says, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. See? If you emphasize these things in your life, you're seeking to do God's will and put Him first and foremost in your life, you'll be acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us, therefore, follow after the things which make for peace and things whereof one may edify another. Build each other up, you know. We spend so much time pulling people down, right? Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. No, let's emphasize the positive. And I'm not saying that we can sin against God now. Don't say I did. And anything that He condemns, we should condemn. But other than that, we should have freedom to do what God has given us the right to do. He is the boss. We're His, not employees, but His underlings. Is that a good word? Yeah, there we go. God is, he's on top, and we're obeying Him. But we still, at the same time, have to be careful not to offend others. Because then that's a sin. When we turn people away. When we selfishly say, I'm going to have my way or else, it becomes a sin. So we have to be careful. Anyway, as I said, this is a very practical section Paul's talking about here, and we just need to understand what he is saying to us. So as he closes it out, he says, verse 20, for meat or for food, do not destroy the work of God. What's more important? It's what God is doing, right? All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. So if you're doing something that offends other people and causing all kinds of problems, it becomes sinful. So we have to be careful and use our God-given common sense many times to be sure that we're living according to His will. He says in verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh, meat, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. If it bothers somebody else, you should not do it. That's what he's saying, right? Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he allows. Have a clear conscience. And be able to look to the Lord and be free from conviction. He that doubteth is condemned. The word damned there doesn't mean to hell. It means he's condemned, he's judged. He that doubts is judged if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we need to make sure that whatever we're doing it because we know that it's God's will. We can do it, and we don't have to be afraid in that sense of the word. We can realize that we are free, but at the same time, we're not free to offend. We're not free to turn people away. So every believer is a servant of the Lord and will someday stand before Him to give an account of their life and service. We are not to judge. He is the judge. But in that day, Christ, He will give a righteous judgment. Will He say to you and me, well done, good and faithful servant? It's a good question. Or will you be ashamed before Him? We need to be sure that we are living in such a way that we are pleasing to the Lord. And I need to make sure, first of all, that we really know the Lord as our Savior. I don't know if there's anyone listening to my voice that is not a believer. The first thing you need to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him today and ask Him to take away your sins and to give you eternal life. He died for you, and He's waiting to forgive you if you'll only come to Him in faith, believing, trusting in Him as your Lord and Savior. Father, we thank You for Your precious word to our hearts today. We pray that You'll help us to understand these things and to walk the right way. Lord, we're free. Yes, we are. But we are not free to sin. So I pray that You'll help us that we might walk in righteousness and truth and have that peace of God and the joy of the Lord as our strength. Now, as we come to the Lord's table, we pray that we might remember all that Jesus did for us and our salvation, which is found only in Him. And we thank You for Your grace and love to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.